out here for America Live today, and we're not in our New York studios. Instead, we're out on the campus of, what was it called? God, it's tough for a fella from SC. Oh! What? Okay, to get on your good graces, who's a cheerleader? You. Lead them in a UCLA 8 clap.
Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8,
I love it. You know, sitting across the stadium on the USC side, I could hear that so loudly. And it's good that you have that kind of spirit in spite of the difficulties you face. Hey, this is the Little Theater out at UCLA, and we are hosting a very special workshop for 200 theater arts students, and this is a live program, and their guest professor today is my co-star for the last 3 days, Lucille Ball. And we have spent a marvelous couple of days getting to know my co-stars, both Lucy and her husband, Gary Morton. We've been talking about step-parenting. Of course, Gary inherited 2 great little children, and we also dealt with a life-saving technique called CPR, had lots of interesting interviews. She talked to Henry Fonda yesterday, was supposed to interview him. It wasn't an interview if you saw that show, but it was fun. Today you're going to see a side of Lucy that most of us have never seen before, and you're going to have an opportunity to quiz her about any aspect of her career, anything you want to talk to her about. But before we meet Lucy, we would like to have our media critic, David Sheehan, do a capsule of some of her career, and so let us introduce David Sheehan, ladies and gentlemen.
I feel like I ought to break into song or something. I was all ready to get involved in that cheer because, you know, I was a theater arts major here at UCLA.
That's what makes you so mean.
Oh, I don't know. But let that be a lesson to you. See, you still have to struggle all the time, no matter what. I want to tell you, though, that I am not sure how much Lucille Ball likes the idea of being called a pioneer. But most television comedy as we know it today, whether it's Mary Tyler Moore or Laverne and Shirley or Three's Company, does owe a great debt of gratitude to the trailblazing efforts of the lady who created a style, a method, and a legend with I Love Lucy back in 1951. Well, by now, the situation comedy format that Lucy perfected is the dominant kind of program style on today's primetime television. And Lucy's show itself is still very much on today's television. Nearly a 500 million people watch the show in more than 70 countries, including, of course, the United States, where syndicated Lucy reruns are currently playing in more than 100 cities, all of which makes Lucy the most visible celebrity in the history of entertainment. Not a day goes by when Lucy's face isn't flashing across a TV screen somewhere in the world. So, Jack, I think we could say that we are in the company of a genuine superstar today, huh?
We certainly are, and we have with us now, well-deserved applause to Lucy. But I also have as a backup someone who knows Lucy better than anyone else, her husband, Gary Morton, ladies and gentlemen.
Hello, Jack. David.
Good morning.
What do you think? You know, you were listening to what David said. Did he leave out something, or was he?
Well, he was correct. She is in about 77 countries, and in the syndication, what I just would like to add, that there are 3 series in the history of television. Everyone goes on a series, and it's either 6-7 years, and then it's over. Lucy started on I Love Lucy, then she did the Lucy Show, and it was Here's Lucy, plus the Desi Lucy Comedy Hours. And we sell in all those countries. In some countries, it's amazing when they buy it in syndication, they only have 1 set. It's in a palace somewhere. And they invite the peasants to come in and look at it and say, and that's good, you know.
Well, what we're going to do is we're going to pause for just a minute, and then we're going to introduce the professor, the star, the co-star of our show today, Lucille Ball. So we'll pause and be right back for that. We're We're back here at UCLA in the Theater Arts Department. David Sheehan, Gary Morton, and I all have microphones because this is going to be a maximum involvement of this audience with our guest of honor I'd like to bring out right now. Let's welcome Lucille Ball, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you. That is very nice. And I don't want to waste a minute, although I love the applause. I've never heard such enthusiasm except for protest marches. It's really good to hear that good old-fashioned college yell again. I don't mean just for UCLA, but for any college. Now, first of all, I want to say that usually when I have a class this size, it takes 6 or 8 weeks, and we're going to have to try to do this in 20, 27 minutes or something. Remember, this seminar is only as good as your questions. Perhaps someone else will ask a question that you were going to ask. So listen to that answer. Think of another question. Perhaps you'll get a chance to ask it. We're going to work as fast as we can. I'll talk as fast as I can. I'll tell you as much as I can. If I don't know, you look pretty smart, some of you, and I think you're going to... I think you've had more education in a lot of areas, seriously, than I have. So, well, if you ask a question I know nothing about, that's what you're going to hear. I don't know anything about that. Now then, Jack, take over. Where are you?
I was squatting down so people could see. Let's see a show of hands of people who have questions, and we'll go right to work.
Is it Would theater arts?
Yes, it is theater arts. We have freshman, sophomore, all the way through graduate school, and we have one professor that snuck in here in short pants.
Oh, my God.
What is your name?
My name's Gordon West, and I'm from Sacramento.
Yes, Gordon. You're what?
I'm from Sacramento.
Yes.
I'd like to ask you what your recommendations to Lucy and Desi were for going into the business and how you feel about, for like students like us, for being trained for going into performing.
All right. Thank you. First of all, about my kids. They showed an early inclination to perform. And also, they were interested in their music. I never nagged them to practice, but I did set up like Aunt Nellie, Aunt Maud, Aunt whoever. Aunt Helen is coming on Thursday. She'd love to hear your little number that you were playing the other day. And they go, what little number? And I say, you know, the thing you were playing the other day, I heard you on the drums, Desi, I heard you on the piano, Lucy. And they say, well, you know, and I say, well, she's coming Thursday if you feel. And then I'd, in the background, for the next few days, I would hear them out there getting ready. And that's the way I got the practicing done for years and years and years. And I don't remember ever having the drums shove us out of the house or the piano being, you know, really banged on. But they did. They were encouraged to do things by performing. And yes, I wanted them to be in the business if they were so inclined, if they had anything to offer. There came a time, younger than what you are now, when I noticed that their schools, they were not working to their potential. And the schools were getting a little flaky, and things were happening. And it was a very inopportune time, really, to take the children out of school, like quarter of May, you know. And graduation is coming up. Not their final graduation, but the graduation exercises. And I said to them, I have to change my format. I'm going away for a month. I want you to think. Would you like to be in my show? And they went, yes. I said, now, you have a month to think about it. You're going to have people come here, writers and director, and talk to you and discuss what this means to your life. You're not going to get a lot of money. You're going to get less than scale. You'll get paid scale, and the rest of it goes in the bank. That's a rule. And so it's not a question of money. You're going to leave your people at school. You're going to be on your own. You're going to have 4.5 uninterrupted hours on the set with a tutor. Well, it worked out great. They accepted. They loved it. They didn't know what they were getting into. But for the first time, as they were tutored, uninterrupted, like you kids have to run from class to class and, you know, all over, and have had for the last several years, they had uninterrupted tutoring, and it paid off. They began to crack a book, do research, and say, I was very pleased about that. Then in the 3-4 years that they were with me, I saw them emerge. Jesse was doing imitations. He was incorporating his music with the things. We wrote things for them. Lucy was definitely headed for the musical variety type of thing. We saw to that. We wrote certain things for her. Of course, we were very lucky to be able to do that. That's not the opportunity that all of you have. But that's what you're hoping for. But they were able to serve an apprenticeship that was really, and the kind that naturally any well-meaning parent or teacher would hope for all of you. Immediate work, immediate into the, right into the middle of doing something and being able to learn. And they did learn, and they have shown their appreciation, and they're doing fine. Next.
Okay, Gary, do you want to ask this?
Okay. Yes.
My name is Andrew Marginis from Los Angeles.
Yes,
I have three questions, actually.
What's the first one?
First one is, in your own comic development as a comedian, who has been your biggest influence?
Way back, it was liking the type of thing that Ann Southern did, Carol Lombard did. You may sit down, dear. And you may get up for your second question if you have time. Certain men comics. I love the pantomime and the way Buster Keaton performed. Some names perhaps you don't even remember that I had watched. I wasn't sure what I was looking for. I wasn't sure what I wanted to do. But I was influenced, I found out, by certain people. Then as I got... Because I was always under contract. I was lucky enough to be being paid for an apprenticeship. Those were the days when you had a mama and a papa studio, and it was very good. Don't knock it. I wish you all had it. And my career was built on everything that Ann Southern didn't have time to do. True. Not funny. Absolutely true, and I was very grateful for it. I'd sort of hang around the casting office and say, Mr. Piazza, is there anything that Ann Southern can't do this month, you know? And he'd say, well, of course. I mean, I'm not running her whole life. And I'd say, I don't mean that. But is she up for something that maybe she turned down? And he finally got the idea, and he admired me for it. And he'd say, yeah. Yeah, go to see director so-and-so. What I'm saying is that I had a person who was doing the type of thing that I wanted to do, and I knew if I was in that same stable in someone's thought who could get me, you know, give me the opportunity at least, I'd have had a chance. It didn't mean I got the job, but I had a chance. I was hanging on to that type of person.
Lucy,
yes.
What we need to do, I see the soap operas do that. They build a little suspense and they hold it over to the next. We have a commercial here, then we have the suspense of the next two questions. We'll be back for those in just 1 minute.
Now, as we go on to the saga, will Andy's second question, will Lucy answer it in the time that Andy would like to know the answer to whatever he's going to ask? Oh. We now turn it over to Andy for the second part of his three-part question.
There goes 5 minutes. Yes, Andy. Go.
Okay, the second question is this.
Speak up.
Today, where do you see the direction of comedy and situation comedy in television?
Down the toilet. By that, I mean we're getting too much of terror in the streets called entertainment. I'll leave it there, because it takes a long time to discuss this sort of thing.
Okay, very quickly, with that question, a little backup. Do you think that the contemporary television audience today is too sophisticated for the comedy that you had on I Love Lucy in the 1950s?
Yes, but they're still watching. They're sending in... That's enough, Andy. You had three.
What...
They're pushing their children and their grandchildren in front of my set. So that's my show. That makes me very happy. So I know that they've seen it maybe 16 times, but they still think it's good for their children, and rightly so, because of the other stuff that we have that we'd rather they didn't see.
Okay.
Thank you, Andy.
I would like to just add to that for a moment that the thing that Lucy said something sometime, she has been a babysitter, she said, for two generations. So what happens is, she said, the mother and father, and now the younger ones are watching. And
well, they don't have to worry when they look at our show. And when you have children, you understand that there are certain things you won't want them to see, and it's only going to get worse unless you all, because you are the ones that are going to be doing it. Next.
Okay, David Chin, you have a question.
Yes, we have a young lady here with an I Love Lucy T-shirt on. Stand up and...
Take your hands off her, David.
Oh, excuse me.
I can see the shirt.
So, thought I'd try to...
What's your name? What?
Bridget Polk, and I'm from La Habra.
What's your name?
Bridget.
Oh, Bridget, okay. I just said Bridget.
And I'd like to know if you still remember things like the vitamin to Benjamin commercial.
Well, not word for word, but I certainly remember doing it because in those days I worked without cards. And that's the one thing I remember that I had to learn the whole thing.
I know it by heart.
Oh, can you do it for us? You want to do the...
It's long. It's very long, David. And that is a fabulous accomplishment. If I stay later, maybe you could do it because I'd love to hear it. Do it for me anyway. Thank you. That's quite an accomplishment.
Okay, yeah. You have so many hands over there, David. You got to...
Right up here.
Go boy, girl, boy, girl, boy, girl.
Hi there, we're here
what's
tonight.
What's your name? David, will you take your hands away? What's your name, dear?
Early in the morning.
Give
too,
her the mic.
My name is Solange.
Solange.
And I'm from Long Beach, and I...
Sound like you're from Saudi Arabia.
No, I'm not. No. And I'm a motion pictures television major here at UCLA, and I wanted to tell you that I can't tell you how much I appreciate your show, because I was raised on it, and I loved it. And everything.
Thank you. Thank you.
Is that a question?
The wonderful thing about my show is were my writers, and I am not just saying that. And I learned from my writers. My writers, no matter what you are led to believe, wrote everything out. And Vivian and I studied what they wrote, and we did what they wrote, even sometimes against our, not better judgment, but, oh, say, Mike, we can't do this. And they said, try it. We tried it, and it works. Go ahead, try it. Have fun with it. Embellish it, you know. And that I really learned from my writers, and to this day, they still work with me, and I adore them.
What I'd like to know is, whatever happened to little Ricky?
Little Ricky is now grown up and has a family. He didn't get very tall, but he has a family of his own, and he lives down in Louisiana in a town named after his family. I can't remember.
Thibodeau.
Town of Thibodeau, Louisiana. Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Or is that a lady?
No, it's me.
I can't see. It's hard to
see. It's me, he says. No, it's me.
Go ahead. What's your name?
Yes, I'm Chris Cook from Greenville, Michigan.
Hi,
and I was wondering if there are any characters you haven't played yet that you would still like to play.
If there were, I think I'd be back on the air in that thing, because I don't think I have any left. I tell you what, I have some, but I'm not going to go into it now. I don't think it'd be that interesting for everyone, but they're so far afield. I have found a couple of stories, but I won't say you, but I say your folks won't buy me. They want to see more Lucy shows, and I just feel I'm too old to be yelled at by Uncle Harry, you know? But I do have a couple of things that I would like to do, and some characters, perhaps, but they're not a la Lucy. If I was doing a satire of the character, I could do it in a Lucy show. Next.
Young man here, stand right up.
My name is Robert Bowden from
Hi.
Flushing, New York.
Hello. Oh,
yeah.
Hi, Bob.
And first of all, I'd like to say it's a pleasure seeing you in person after so many years on television.
Thank you. I look a lot older, don't I?
Better.
Thank you. I fish for that one.
I'd like to know if you were ever offered a variety series and...
Many times.
Did you ever consider doing it?
No. And,
what do you think is the state of variety on television
I think it's
now?
Terrific, but they aren't doing too well in the ratings. But then what the hell is? You know, everything is having trouble in the ratings. They can't seem to find themselves. But the reason that I don't cotton after a real variety show is that I don't want to just be a mistress of ceremonies. And I need more to be able to sing and dance on the spur of the moment, like a lot of people, or Shirley MacLaine and people like that, to be a good variety hostess or performer. But I know you're interested in variety.
Yes.
Now, you want to direct it or act in it?
Well, anything I can get.
Well, for starters, you better learn how to do something and not just say anything I can get, because they got a lot of sweeping up to do. You know, they give you a broom.
Yeah.
And they say, well, it's show business.
What would you like to see on television nowadays?
I spend most of my time with PBS. I really do. Hey! The public service programs have been capturing my interest because of a lack of other things, and I'm seeing the same thing over again in the other. It's not that I dislike
We're still commercial, Lucy,
oh,
and we've
Jack,
got a pause for
a
one
bore.
Until you get... We'll be right back. Don't pass the cup. back with our guest professor, Lucille Ball. But for those few stations that leave us, I'd like to tell you that we're going to have with our show next week as co-stars Harvey Korman, Robert Goulet, Carol Lawrence, and we're going to be discussing everything. Single fathers, plastic surgery, premarital counseling. Be with us. We'll be back with more America Live in just one minute. Welcome back to America Live. I'm Jack Linkletter, and we're out here at UCLA, which is hosting a very special workshop for 200 of its A students. And we've been visiting with all the D students, so they're out of the way so far. But this workshop is live here for America Live, and our guest instructor is my co-star, Lucille Ball, who has just been tremendous. And I've been out here in the audience with her husband, Gary Morton, getting questions, and David Sheehan, who has the next question.
Yes, I do indeed. I have a young lady here who is an A student and directing a play, and she'd like to ask some advice on how you direct.
What is your name, dear?
My name is Lucille Evans, and I'm from Leland, Mississippi.
Nice to know you.
Long way. Thank you. First of all, I'd like to say I've enjoyed your show for the better portion of my life.
Thank you.
Because of my mother, and she says, you got to get there and watch it, and I loved it. I'm interested in directing, and I've been for quite a while. Comedy, there are a couple of one-liners in my show.
You say you have been directing for quite a while?
Yes, basically community theater.
Go ahead.
I'm wondering what advice could you give me for getting the one-liners out there? It's a one-act play.
Getting
it's an
the
original.
One-liners?
One-liners, yes.
Out most, there or out of
to
there?
To the audience. Getting the full, the punchline. Getting it to the audience.
Well, first of all, I think a projection.
Uh-huh.
And if you've given the line to the wrong person who cannot project it, or someone who was telegraphing it before they project it, you're in trouble.
Okay.
So your casting, aptitude comes in there.
Mm-hmm.
And I say telegraphing. I know a lot of people who are trying to play. You talking about comedy lines?
Yes.
I know a lot of people when they have a line that they know is supposed to be funny, they telegraph it.
Mm-hmm.
Some very big stars do that to this day. And they say, oh, here it comes, and yet they have a certain glint, and then they throw the line and nothing happens, and you can, you know, it's like...
Yes,
because
exactly.
They've telegraphed it. So you take away the telegraph, make sure you have someone who is doing just the right level of projection,
mm-hmm.
And if you have someone who's throwing their lines backstage, turning the wrong way, it has a lot to do with the way you stage. I don't want to go any farther than that.
Okay, I had one other quick question. I just wondered, with all the things that you've done in film, have you ever been interested in directing anything yourself?
I've had to direct a lot of the Lucy shows. I haven't been too interested in directing anyone else's show.
Uh-huh.
But I have had to direct some of our shows because we never put anyone under contract. We always had an open end if they wanted to move on to something else because we had to train people. The three-camera technique started with us, and the camera coordinators, which we don't have here, three cameras moving back and forth. And if you saw our show with 300 people in the audience and everything done just like a stage play, and these cameras and cable men all were brand new 25-something years ago. And as much as we were innovators, we had to keep training new people. I forgot your question. What was it?
Thank you very much. It says that if you were interested in directing anything yourself, that you directed something.
Not really, but I do. I can do my show. I'm proud of that.
Okay.
Gary?
Wonderful.
All right.
I just want to add something to Lucy, in my opinion, can direct anything pertaining to staging and so forth, et cetera. And also about the comedy punchline. When you're doing stand-up comedy in one, there is a punchline. When you're acting, you're acting. And if it's written correctly, the line will be funny if you're acting right.
Well, reacting.
Or reacting.
See, acting is listening, reacting, and then acting.
I used to do a stand-up spot, so I know when the punchline came and it doesn't happen, your lips get awful dry.
Yeah.
When there's no audience reaction. But if you're acting a play, they know it. Another question. Someone just told me, quick, stop talking. Another question.
My name is Jennifer Ball, and I was wondering, would you like another daughter?
Yes. Yes, Jennifer, you're in the family.
Okay,
next
I have a young man here.
Hello, Mike.
Hi. My question is...
Mike is my number one fan. He looks pretty young for that.
How do you qualify to be the number one fan?
Yes, he just is, that's
all. It's a lot of collecting.
Yes.
Okay, my question is, do you bring Lucy home when you were working on Lucy, but did you bring it home to your husband every day, or?
I'd like to answer that.
Should you let him answer it, Lucy?
Yes, Gary. Yeah,
Lucy comes home as a wife, as Mrs. Morton, but sometimes it just happens. There's a certain thing about Lucy and Lucille, and sometimes Lucille comes home, and how it happens, I don't know, but she becomes Lucy, like tripping in the door, doing cute little things. She's a klutz, in plain words, but an adorable one.
Thank you, Mike.
Okay, another question right here. Well, I've got some people. Yeah.
My name is Paul McKay, and I'm from San Jose, California. And I just wanted to know, like, through your own experiences, how would you compare stage work to, you know, your television work?
First of all, I think stage is the greatest, invaluable. And I think anytime you have a chance to perform in front of an audience, whether it be your church, your school, or even on radio as far as that goes, even before you get to television and everything, anytime you have a chance to perform, but in front of an audience, you are really, you're exposed, you're bare, and it all comes out. Good or bad, but you learn from it. Get all the stage experience you can. I love the stage. That's why I always did my show with an audience. That was the stage.
That's why you're working with this audience.
Right.
We have a real short... Do you have a short question, David?
Short question, yes. We have a tall person with a short question.
All right.
Hi, Lucy. I'm Lori Green, and I'm from Beverly Hills. And I wanted to ask you, you've played a lot of, you know, of ages of characters, and can you have some recommendations for a young person like myself trying to play an older character?
Well, mostly it's up to your makeup man, especially someone who looks the way you do. But it's up to your makeup.
Are there any
and
body movements?
Then, well, certainly there are, and you should be studying everyone's body movements. Everyone's, cats, dogs, people, horses, because body movement is one of the most divine things to know about. And I'm sure there are plenty of people that incorporate it in their work right here. But as an actress, you should be observing old ladies in the park, people on buses, people waiting for buses, drunks, sales ladies. Just observe. Now, an older person, certainly you know the difference between their walk, their talk, their tone, their attitude, and a younger person, and just get it up here and rivet it in, computerize
okay.
it.
Watch Thank this. You. Watch my body movement.
Not you, Jack. You're too young.
No. I'm going to throw it to a commercial, and this is the body
Oh, movement. Jack.
We'll be right back. Okay, we have, what is your name?
Dave Baumgart from
yes,
Simi
Dave.
Valley. And I was just wondering, I've watched all your shows and I've seen all the reruns 100 times, and I was just wondering which one was your favorite series to do?
Favorite show or series?
The series, you know, out of
I
the
I love
three.
Lucy, I imagine, because I was learning the most. And it
Any
was,
one show?
It was I Love Lucy. No, it's the series
yeah.
I Love Lucy. The first I Love Lucy's. The first I Love Lucy, you know. With Fred and Ethel and the first time we started.
Lucy, do you mean the first series?
Yes, the first series.
The first series. David, you have a question.
Yes, I have taken a short survey over here, and there are about 9 people that want to see you demonstrate something. Facial humor and physical humor, can you...
I don't think so. From here, it would take too much time, and I've only got 2 or 3. I'll do it later for them.
What about?
I don't want to do it, David. Don't ask me to do it. That was my Pekingese, the last one.
Okay, your name?
John McNally from Westwood. The question rather touches on an earlier question. However, I'd like to know, I believe earlier in your career you did some dramatic roles. So do you still want to follow up on that at all?
Not really. They were inadvertent. It's much harder to do comedy. I find it much more of a challenge. I think it's sort of like a vacation to do dramatic roles. There are some character things that I have read lately that are really... You know, they don't even look like me or act like me. I may get into something like that, but no one's encouraging me too much.
Okay. Many of the great comedians and comedians have, in fact,
They wanted to do Shakespeare and things. Exactly. I never did.
Okay, thank you.
Gary, you have a question.
Yes, there's a young lady here. Would you lean right over, darling?
I'm Paula Linder, and we're all looking for our first break, and I was wondering if your first movie role was as the flower girl on Top Hat, the movie.
Just about, yes. Yes. You shouldn't stay up that late.
David,
and you know something? I flunked so badly that the director, God bless him, he's gone now, Mark Sandrich, felt so sorry for me that he just let me go. Then they cut it out later, but they didn't want me to walk off the set. I could not do Cockney, and I still can't. It's a mental block.
David.
Yes, I have a lady here with me.
I noticed. Will you take your hands off, David?
Oh, excuse me. She has love on her mind, and she has to ask you something very personal.
Well, kind of. I'm Rosemary, and I'm a film...
What?
I'm Rosemary, and I'm a film production student. I wanted to know, what can a woman who is successful in this business do to have children and make it all a success? To have marriage and children and be successful in the business. What's the thing that
That's
you do?
That's not even a good question, Rosemary. I don't believe that you really need an answer to that.
I
really don't. Because having children is the same no matter who you are or where or how the way you get them. How you protect them, how you raise them, and how you find time to be with them. You can be any kind of woman. You can work in a department store. You can dig ditches, drive a truck, do anything. And be a success. You can run a business. You can do all of that. Naturally, you have to have help. You don't do it all alone. Someone has to be with the kids once in a while, but it can be done.
That's what I wanted to know. Thank you.
Well, you didn't really get an answer. But it is nothing that you should wonder about.
Okay, we...
Just wonder how you're going to be a success. The rest follows very nicely.
Yeah, Lucy, my name is Beth Milstein.
Yes,
from West
Beth.
Orange, New Jersey. I've seen every episode, of course, of I Love Lucy many times. I'm sure it's the same for everyone else. But I understand there's an episode that was only aired once. It was taped in the sixth season where Fred... bought little Ricky a Christmas tree. Could you tell us
about
that?
Yes, we never did Christmas shows. It has been shown more than once at Christmas time, but we did not specifically do Thanksgiving or Christmas or New Year's or anything because we knew we were going to be syndicated around the world and those particular shows would fall on different days. That's the reason.
Why isn't it in the regular rerun schedule?
I don't know. I really don't know about that. It was sold to some place a long time ago. And I don't know why they don't put it on, except that it wasn't Christmas.
Okay, we're going to pause for just one more minute, and then we'll be back for more of Lucy.
Yes, exactly.
Just take my fancy. I like to do. And when it comes to things romance.
Okay, this is the last question period on the air, so we want Lulu.
Could we get someone from the back here? Jack? I'd like to get someone back here.
What do you want to do to him?
Well, okay, I have a yeah, let me take a
start with it, David.
Thank you.
All right.
I have been accused of only allowing the ladies on this side of the room to ask Lucy questions, so I'm going to go for a change of pace here. And we have a gentleman, a very dapper gentleman. I didn't know they dressed like that to go to college. Is that the way?
Well, I did it especially for Lucy. I'm David Espinosa. I'm from San Jose, California. And,
yes.
I'm very much into mime, and I want to know what degree of value do you think studying in an institution like this is as opposed to practical
experience? I don't know what you're studying here.
I'm studying theater arts, and I want to be a comedian. I like to be funny. But
how much you believe in what you're doing, and mime is certainly the great start. Now, whom do you admire, for instance, besides Marcel Marceau?
Who else do I admire?
Yeah, just give me a couple.
The frog?
What?
The toad?
No, not an animal.
No, this is a mime.
A mime? I don't know. I don't know from frogs and toads.
Okay.
People call that. I don't know, but... I have in mind some singers and actors that you know have been into mime, and it has a great deal to do with their performance.
You.
Go ahead.
I really think that you're into
how
mime
about,
from what
how about
I
a
see.
Man? How about a man?
How about a man? None that I really know of.
Skelton.
Red Skelton, yeah.
Red Skelton, Dick Van Dyke, Anthony Newley.
Yes.
All right, watch those people. I think it is very, very important that you have a mime training. It's very important. It's wonderful. It's graceful, and it's one that makes you think before you act, and it makes your whole body just get into the character so that you're not just blurting out lines.
What degree of value do you think studying in an institution like this is?
I don't know exactly. I'd have to be in every one of your classes to give an answer like that. I think any time you are lucky enough to be in any class, that you just have to pick that professor's brains and let him know how interested you are and get the most out of his potential to work to yours.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. There's a young lady here. Stand up, Ellen.
My name is Andrea Davis. I'm from Pittsburgh. The question is about situation comedy writing. You said before that you agree that the caliber is nothing like it was, especially for any of your shows. Where is
now,
the
I didn't say exactly that. Remember exactly where you are in your question. Remember, I didn't say exactly that. I didn't say the caliber was not the caliber of our shows. I was asked if I thought that the parents of today would be interested in my show if it was just coming on for the first time. Mm-hmm. And my answer was, no, I don't think so. I think they'd still like their grandchildren to watch it. But we have all been, what is the word? We have been made more tolerant. We're seeing more and more things. We're accepting more and more progressive permissiveness and all that. So those of us that are older are finding that sort of thing perhaps a little dull. Go ahead.
All right. Well, the range of subject matters has expanded, what's acceptable on television. And yet they aren't as good as, most of them aren't as good as your shows.
Are you talking about just comedy?
Yes.
They're trying to make comedy out of reality, out of terror in the streets. They're trying to make comedy out of abortions, mastectomies, whatever. Name it. Mm-hmm. You know, vasectomies. Who the hell wants to listen to that for fun? You know, I think it's...
My name is Mike Buckley. I'm from Sacramento, and I wanted to know what was your most memorable blooper on all the airings, all tapings of all your television
shows? It was dirty. I can't tell you that. I got in a lot of trouble. Oh, I can't tell you that. I'll tell you later.
Go ahead, David.
Yeah, I have the question here that I kept expecting to hear in a class of students. Stand up, young lady, and
take your hands off her.
Hi, my name's Amy Resnick. I'm from San Francisco.
Amy?
And Hollywood's changed a lot over the years. And
how would you know?
Well, I've heard stories. Mm. And I wanted to know, breaking in today, what's the difference between breaking in today and breaking in when you
I mentioned it earlier that we had the umbrella of the studios. We had the mamas and papas. No matter how they make jokes about the Coens and the Selznicks and the Mayors and the papas, the Zanucks, the people who ran those studios, they were our security. Mm-hmm. They had publicity departments who made us, whether we wanted it or not, a certain type that they thought was saleable. They dressed us, they trained us, they gave us a chance to perform. We could fall on our faces if we weren't any good, but we had a chance. They shoved us into B pictures, and maybe we liked it, maybe we didn't. I never minded it. I knew I was getting a well-paid apprenticeship. That's the difference. Now, all you kids starting out, I feel so sorry for you. You don't have anybody, no umbrella, no one there to help you, and you go to for advice and everything. Everybody has to have their own company, do their own producing, their own writing, and all that nonsense. It's tough.
Wow, that's a heavy way to end. We're going to have to end, though.
Oh, Jack.
And, yeah, you keep saying that to me, but we do have commercials. That's where I keep working. We'll be right back.
You know what I think?
This is bye-bye time, and I would like you all here at UCLA to give yourselves a hand. You have to admit, this is a super audience.
That's right. Yes,
applaud to yourself. Thank you very, very much. And Gary,
yeah.
And Lucy.
Thank you.
You know, I think this is wrong, just having you with me for 3 days. We're just getting into the flow of things.
You're married. And so am I. But perhaps we can work something out, Jack.
That's what you've been saying to them after the show. You stay out of this and keep your hands to yourself, David.
I've loved every minute of it, Jack, really. Ask me back again someday.
I would love to do that. And next week, our co-stars are Harvey Korman, Robert Goulet, and Carol Lawrence. And next Friday, it's Mickey Mouse's 50th birthday. So we're going down to Disney World and doing a M-I-C.
Oh, that's wonderful. I'm not going to sing it. Are you really going down there?
We are. We're going to do the whole show, special edition. Thank you all. See you on America Live. Have a good weekend. Bye.
Of the world's busiest city, Marriott's Essex House is a breath of fresh air on Central Park. For reservations, call toll-free